Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Good to be with you. Rockets last night. Find out who their opponent is going to be in the first round. First trip back to the postseason for the Rockets since the COVID year. And joining us right now on the hotline, she is the sideline reporter for the Rockets on Space City Home Network. And she is a birthday girl today. A very happy birthday and a thank you for the time to our good friend Vanessa Richardson. Happy birthday, Ness. How you doing?
Thank you, guys. I'm so good. I'm excited now to know, you know, a little bit more about what the schedule will be within the next coming week. So I'm super excited and thank you for the birthday wish.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, there was a... That was fun last night, the Warriors and the Grizzlies. How much the Rockets just played the Warriors like 2 weeks ago and ran them off the floor in the second half of that game. What was the you're around the team every day. What was the mood like after that game? Is that, you know, does that feel like sort of a validator or any sort of harbinger for what this series could look like, especially when it comes to the Amen Thompson Steph Curry matchup?
I do think it's a really great, what the coaching staff calls a barometer game, right? Like, yes, every game on the schedule has an equal W or L, you know, right? Like every game counts as one. But when you're talking about a game like that, where Amen Thompson is holding Steph Curry to 3 points, and I don't have to tell anybody what Steph has done to the Rockets in the past, it did feel like a barometer game, especially it was an away game. It's late in the season. The Rockets, of course, like a lot of NBA teams, are dealing with a couple of nicks and a couple of injuries here and there. So it felt extremely validating. And yes, the mood on the plane was very fun.
Well, you know, and this might come as a shock to you, Vanessa, but Steve Kerr has whined a little bit lately about the way teams are defending
no
Steph
way!
Curry.
Yeah, wait, really?
True. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's so unlike him.
Yeah, he went there. What was the sense of frustration, perhaps, by the Warriors that you could see on the court during that game?
It was actually really incredible to see, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was kind of an underrated part of it. Look, like, I mean, we're sports fans, we're all sickos, right? So watching them get so frustrated, watching their fans legitimately complain about officiating was like an out of body. I'm like, wait, are they serious? Like Warriors fans? I think it's going to be a series with a lot of passion. I don't think you can underestimate the Draymond Green element of it. I think that's going to be really interesting. And when you've got young guys like the Rockets have, like Tari Eason and Amen, and young guys that will just get really scrappy really quickly, and then you have the Warriors players, but then you mentioned it, their coach, their fans that are known to, you know, maybe complain here and there. I think it's going to be extremely fun.
Yeah, it should be. Vanessa Richardson, sideline reporter, Space City Home Network, for the Rockets, joining us here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. All right, Vanessa, so this double big, this Twin Towers lineup with Alperen Şengün and Steven Adams, that I don't know that this was eventually the plan to do when Steven Adams got fully healthy, or if it's something that Ime just kind of stumbled into and like, wow, this really works well. The numbers are crazy as to how good an offensive rebounding lineup it is with the two of them in the game. What are your thoughts on that particular mix with the two of them against this Golden State team, which is, you know, tends to skew much smaller.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. So the coaching staff actually talked about the concept of the double big during training camp, but then they couldn't, or during their coaches retreat, excuse me, but then they didn't have the ability to utilize it until just a couple months ago because Steven Adams wasn't playing back to backs and they wanted to, you know, make sure that they staggered their minutes. So when it was put in place, it was like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. This is like old school basketball. And obviously Ime and some of the coaching staff had a history of utilizing double bigs in San Antonio as players and coaches. So it's been really, really fun. And I think that it has the potential to be a really great matchup and something that the Rockets can use as a strength. And I mean, you guys know in the playoffs, it is literally all about adjustments. And the Rockets can play small ball, but man, if that adjustment, if the game plan calls for an adjustment of just like, let's put Alperen Sengun and Steven Adams in there, and they're just going to get every offensive rebound. And, oh, if we add Jabari Smith Jr. in there, then we've got this, like, jumbo lineup with a lot of length. I think it has the potential to be a major advantage.
Yeah, and I guess that's, and maybe you already gave us the answer to this, but it, when it comes to the different rotations and how much they matter, which rotation player for this specific matchup do you have your eyes most on for the Rockets?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I think when you take inventory of the depth, that's the thing about the Rockets is that there's not like one player on a night-to-night basis that is the superstar. It's so different than the rest of the NBA. But I will go back to Tari Eason, who a few months ago said on camera in the locker room, I just hate the Warriors. And he does. And he hates the Warriors and he leaves it all on the floor. And when he's called upon to start for the Rockets in the starting lineup, he makes an impact as well. So many great rotation players that I think are going to be a really important part of this series for sure.
Let's talk about Fred VanVleet for a second, Vanessa, because he missed a bunch of games and the team wasn't very good while he was out. He comes back and you can, you know, things look a little more organized, but, you know, statistically, it's not been a great stretch run here for Fred, but the team is obviously playing very well. Give us some insight. Like, what is it about Fred VanVleet, both in those 48 minutes on the floor, behind the scenes? It almost feels like he's an extension of Ime Udoka. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, they've actually said that when they, you know, describe him, because when he came in last year, last season, when he joined the Rockets, he immediately just had such an impact on the young guys and really all the veterans did in general. But they truly do view Fred as a coach. And so when you have Fred, somebody like Fred that can calm things down and get everybody in their proper places and make sure everybody has what they need, those things don't always show up in the stats sheet. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's totally true. So the veterans are going to be a really big part of this series, guys. When you think about it, like Fred VanVleet, we haven't even touched on Dylan Brooks yet. Yeah. You know, don't underestimate what Steven Adams, who has a history, well, Dylan and Steven against the Warriors from their days in Memphis. And then Jeff Green. Jeff's an important veteran as well. So the veterans are going to be crucial. This Golden State Warriors team, you guys know, not only do they have a lot of championships, but they have a lot of tricks up their sleeves. We've touched a little bit on the coaching and the fan base. It is going to be a lot for this Rockets team, but the veterans on this Rockets team, no doubt, Fred included, are going to be the ones that really can guide them through it.
Yeah, Vanessa, I mean, the Warriors are largely reviled in most of America, so it's not going to be hard to convince people to cheer for the Rockets versus the Warriors. If you had to make an elevator pitch, though, to anybody who is on the fence outside of Houston, what's your elevator pitch for why they should be cheering for the Rockets?
Old school, tough nose, everything that people say that they hate about the NBA, the Rockets are the opposite. Everybody says the NBA is just about chucking threes and all offense and no defense, and the death of the big man has come and gone, or the importance, rather, you know, on a night-to-night basis. And the Rockets are the opposite of that. The Rockets are not AAU basketball. The Rockets are not one person takes the ball and takes control of the same person every night. You know, it really is tough, hard-nosed basketball, and they're just a bunch of really young dogs that are really exciting and not afraid to have some tussles every now and then. So I think that look, America, if you're looking for a fun basketball team, if you're looking for the anti-everything that people hate what the NBA has become, watch the Rockets, cheer for the Rockets. And like you said, Seth, I think the lucky thing is that it's not going to be too hard to convince people to get all aboard the Rockets train for this one.
No, I like that strategy. Like, you guys should have a banner that says, hey, we're the worst three-point shooting team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You don't like the three?
We're terrible at it.
Don't need them. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, even just, and we're talking to Vanessa Richardson, sideline reporter for the Rockets on Space City Home Network. And Vanessa, we're in the studio right now, and on TV, on ESPN, they're talking about the Rockets Warriors series. And the question at the bottom of the screen is, do you feel the Warriors have a clear path to the NBA title?
Yeah, and, like what?
And I'm going, they're the seven seed, and they're going against the two. And by the way, it's disrespect for the next three series they'd have to win to actually win an NBA title. Not exactly
sure.
A clear path. But do you sense that? Like, the team's got to know that, yeah, we're the two seed, but everybody's got us 10th on the odds board. Like, how much of that noise seeps in about the level of disrespect or disregard, maybe, that the Rockets are getting as a threat in this postseason?
The disregard has been unbelievable, and I do think you're dealing with guys with the Rockets in particular that don't care what people think, with the coaching staff and Dylan, you know, Brooks, but it has definitely been noticed.
Yeah.
And honestly, towards the beginning of the year, I'm not saying I understood it, but like, you at least understand it a little bit more because the Rockets didn't make the playoffs last year. Okay. For analysts to say that they're growing and that they're maybe a year or two away. Okay. But like, the Rockets, the way that they finished the second half of the season, the way that they, you know, finished as the two seed in the West, and it wasn't like a fluke. They beat quality teams repeatedly. They had the win in Boston. They beat the Cavs twice.
Mm-hmm.
They beat OKC. They made it all the way to the Cup. Obviously didn't win the Cup, but they won in a high-pressure situation repeatedly. So I truly, truly do not understand the national media and the way that they've approached this, other than there are 30 teams and they're just not doing their due diligence of watching all 30. And I don't know how to say it any nicer than that. I wish I could say it in a nicer way, but it is like so many of these, and a couple of podcasts, like I feel like, you know, The Ringer, like a couple of podcasts have done a good job of like actually breaking down the Rockets. But I feel like some of these producers and the talent of these national media shows are waking up and saying, all right, the Warriors have won championships and the Rockets are really young, so let's just make this the topic. And they're not even getting into the double bigs and Amen Thompson holding Steph Curry a three. It's like I don't know if the research isn't being done, but if you can't tell, it kind of bothers me.
I can tell. No, Vanessa, that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, Seth and I have talked about it. You were on the Colin Cowherd show last week. Did you storm around backstage telling everybody that they didn't know anything about the Rockets and they need to do their
research? I did.
Hey, listen, national show. You need to do your research. How was that? You did a great job. How was that experience
Thank
for you?
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was nice. We were in L.A. for a week, and the producer of The Herd is a good friend of mine, and he's actually, you know, somebody that knows Houston well. So it worked out. And I do get the national media that they have a job to do and that they have to cover a lot of different topics. But the Herd did a good job of knowing. The Herd is the national media show that I actually do think does a pretty good job of, when they cover a team, it seems like the research has been done and there's an element of, okay, like, what should we ask this person that's specific, and it's more than, you know, they did a lot of research that. So,
well,
I appreciated that. And
yeah,
you know, they had to ask me the Dylan Brooks stuff, and they had, I get that, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Who are you hoping for if the Rockets were to beat the Warriors in this series? Which team do you really want to see in the conference?
It's a really good question. I mean, I feel like the Lakers would be really fun. I think that when you look at the Timberwolves and the way that Ant can get going and how much fun that's been, if you're asking about like the Western Conference Finals, or because I guess there's four rounds, right? Yeah. I'm trying to pull.
Yeah,
up the
like if we
right
didn't
now.
If we didn't have to play out like how to get there, you know, if you see the Clippers, it's going to be in the finals. But like, well, yeah, just which of these teams become hell or high water? You're like, I want to see these guys.
Western Conference Finals, you could definitely make a case that I think the Clippers would be fun. Not only would there be storylines with James Harden and the way that both teams play defense, but I think the coaching matchup of Ty Lue and Ime Udoka, two former players, you know, would be a lot of fun. I think with Denver, you have Alperen Şengün and Jokic that I think is always and forever going to be a great storyline. You know, so, and then look, like, that we've had great matches. The Rockets have had amazing matchups with the Thunder this season. So, I mean, I know that's a cop-out answer, but the West is such a bloodbath, and the Rockets have had beef with different teams, and then you have history between players. That I look at the Eastern Conference, I'm like, that's kind of boring compared to what we have. Because literally every single matchup that I see, every single matchup, there could be some really great storylines.
There's not a bad one. There's not a bad one.
No, there's really not.
In the bunch. I got to see James Harden at some point in the playoffs. Seth doesn't want to see James Harden.
It's not that I don't want to. Yeah. It's just that I don't thirst for it. Yeah. I don't need to have closure on that era or anything. But look, realistically, if it comes down to a game 7, there's nobody I want to be playing against other than James Harden.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
That's a really great point.
Yes, that's an excellent point.
Rockets fans know way too much about that. And, you know, just another note, the Clippers and Rockets haven't faced each other with either team at full strength.
Yeah.
So we actually don't know what that would look like, which I think is fascinating.
All right, so Vanessa, a quick reminder now. So do I have this right that you guys are going to be carrying the games on Space City Home Network as long as they're not on ABC? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So when they're on TNT, you will also be able to find them on Space City Home Network. And, you know, if you can watch us and support local, definitely do that. But we also have really fun, you know, things in the works for the postseason. So I'm going to be traveling with the team for every game, regardless of whether it's on regional network, and then past the first round, none of it's on regional, it's all national. So I'll be traveling with the team for every single game, and then Craig and Ryan are going to be involved in some postseason shows, so definitely stay tuned on that.
Okay, so after the first, I thought I'd seen that. So after the first round, you guys are still doing post-game stuff on the network, right?
Yeah, post-game stuff, Ryan and Craig from studio, and then I'll be at the game and on the road, you know, gathering interviews and working with not only our cameraman, but the Rockets digital team to pump out some fun content. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, and your social media, for those who don't know, because I'd imagine a lot of it's going to wind up on there too, right?
Yes, Sports Vanessa, at Sports Vanessa.
Okay, on Instagram and on X. You can find her at Sports Vanessa. All right, well, this is going to be fun, Vanessa. This is
I'm pumped.
Little play. I can tell. A little playoff basketball. You got any big birthday plans going on this week or what?
So luckily, Adam Silver blessed me with a week in L.A. last week. I mean, we got to L.A. on Monday after playing Golden State, and we left on Saturday. So I had a really fun week and some great birthday dinners with my West Coast friends. And then for everybody else, it'll have to wait until after playoffs.
Yeah.
But you know what? I wouldn't have it any other way.
Of course. That's a good thing to preempt your birthday with playoff basketball. I like to think Adam Silver sits down and goes, you know what we need? We need an in-season tournament, and we got to make sure Vanessa can party her ass off on her birthday.
He did it just for me.
Those two things.
He did it just for me.
Yeah, those two things. Hey, Vanessa, we always appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and we're looking forward to watching you on TV on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Sounds good. That's Vanessa Richardson, sideline reporter, does a fantastic job. Space City Home Network. Rockets, Warriors, 8:30 Sunday. Be there. Very excited for this. All right. Up next, let's circle over to the Astros. And I didn't realize that this was as big a bone of contention or criticism of the Astros until we kind of ripped the scab off earlier in the show. Something that happened in the game last night pulled a lot of Astro fans out of the woodwork on one particular topic, and we will tell you what that is coming up next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Jake's 2-for-2 tonight. Including a stolen base, couple of singles for Myers. Sends this ball to right, and again, they're going to challenge Walker. This one's going to fall in. Jeremy's going to be held up, and he's running right through the stop sign, and he is safe. He ran right through the stop sign of Tony Parrish-Chica, took a chance and scores the first run of the game.
A lot going on there. Jake with his third hit of the game, dropping that one in front of Jordan Baker, and TK is exactly right. We both sat from our vantage point and watched Jeremy Pena put his head down and run right through Paris Chica's stop sign.
Okay. We've listened to that call three times on the show now, and I hear something different every time. Like it's like rewatching The Sopranos. Like, I notice something different every time I re-listen to this. But Callis sounded a little bit like a former crossing guard or something like that when Pena was running. He's running right through the stop sign. What is he doing? Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. It was beautiful. Awesome. He did exactly what he should have done.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that, look, Paris Chica gave him the stop sign, and it did. It opened up a wound in a lot of people that are growing frustrated that Paris Chica is not nearly as aggressive as our beloved former third base
Gary
coach,
Pettis.
Gary Pettis.
Yeah.
That look, the Astros The Astros came up when they came up and became the force that they had become long before it was popular. Guys had the green light to go home, to get home, that more times than not, the throw home is either inaccurate or late, and that on average it's just better, especially in a game where you haven't been able to score. You squandered two bases loaded opportunities earlier in the game. That, yeah, you got a guy that can run like Pena, freaking send him.
Yes.
Send him.
Yeah.
So Pena just said, like, I'm not, nope, not even paying attention. No way, no how, not even looking. I'm going home on this
he
one.
He did the right thing. He did the right thing. The other thing that gets buried a little bit on that sequence is it was Jake Meyers getting the RBI right there. And that, I think that's what Blum was kind of referring to. And he's like, man, a lot going on there. And he proceeded to say Jake Meyers with his, I think that was his third hit of the day. Jake Meyers is hitting 294 right now. Now, granted, 294 with a 660, no, sorry, yeah, 294 with a 663 OP.
Right. So he's not hitting for power, but, like, look, as we said all along.
Sorry, Seth. 289 with a 686 OPS. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, we don't care if he's an awesome hitter. He's so good defensively that if he can just be an average hitter. But then also, you got to remember, man, because he can move, he's on the base paths, that with the new rules, the OPS isn't as much of the be-all, end-all, and hitting for power, it's still very, very important. But small ball has made a comeback to a certain degree, and just getting him on the bases helps a lot, and it puts a lot of stress on pitchers. So, it was a great moment. Now, that wasn't I don't want to say it was a lucky hit, but it was a pop-up that Jordan Walker couldn't get to in right field.
Sure,
But, he's been producing consistently.
He'd have struck out a year ago in that situation.
100%.
He's at least making contact and making things happen right now. You know,
you would have pulled a Dubon or an Altuve last night and
popped,
squandered the bases loaded.
Yes, But think about that, though. Like, I don't want to be on pace guy. Because they're a tenth of the way through the season, but Jake is going to play virtually every day. He's got 6 stolen bases already.
Right.
you know, like he's
So I don't. Hell, okay. Oh, he's not hitting for doubles, but he's getting to second base.
He's finding a way to get to second
base. Yeah.
That's true.
You know what? Yeah, they need to add that. Now that stolen bases are so much more of a thing, I want on base plus slugging plus steals, and then put that in your IBM machine and tell me what what number that or acronym I need on
The good news is we've got something called wins above replacement, which encompasses everything. And he's at a .6 wins above replacement right now, 17 games into the year. Like he's for his career. Think about how long Jake Meyers has been around, right? As an Astro, like he's been around since 2021. He's got 5.5 wins above replacement for the entirety of his time as an Astro. He's got .6 in the first 17 games of this season. So not to bury people in numbers, but I've been as critical of Jake Meyers as anybody. And look, if this is who he is, and I don't expect his batting average to stay at .289, I actually expect his batting average to drop and there to be a little bit more pop, if I'm being honest, because he's shown a little bit of that. You know, in previous seasons, that there is some pop in that bat when he's able to get into a groove a little bit. So I could see a scenario where the batting average actually goes down a fair amount, but maybe the OPS goes up a little bit because he's hitting for a little more pop. But boy, if he's stealing 6 bases again, this is your 7 or 8 hole hitter. You're absolutely right. Like if this is who he is offensively, then you're laughing because he's so good defensively.
Yeah,
you know, he's elite there.
So what you had alluded to when we talked about coming into the segment was that fans are getting a little bit upset with Paris Chica and his conservatism at third base.
Yeah.
That, like, this is not the Astros way. This is a team that is sometimes stupidly aggressive on the base pass.
Right.
But especially when sending guys home, send them home. If it's going to be close at all, send them home. More times than not, it works out.
Yeah.
Especially when you can't score in a game like last night. I'm all for Jeremy Pena ignoring it there and going home. And somebody brought up the moment this past weekend when I can't remember. There was one moment when Cam Smith had an opportunity to tag up at third and go home, and he didn't. Yeah. And I was wondering why. There might have been another one where he had a chance to continue on through third base, but he's just not the same as Gary Pettis.
No. Stop being so conservative. Stop trying to make holding up at third base great again. Okay.
Ask for the sale.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Don't be timid.
Yeah.
We will not go timidly into that good night.
Ask for the order. Yeah. Text message: the 8 and 9 hole hitters have to be decent hitters so that it turns the lineup over and gives the guys at the top of the order more chances to hit. Yeah, oh, no, 100%. They don't need to be great, but they can't be the black hole. They can't be the black hole that we were anticipating them being earlier, or like before the season. I think spot seven, eight.
Nobody was sitting here arguing that it's okay to have awful hitters at 8 and 9.
No.
Yeah, thanks for that. Okay.
But I get it. To turn the lineup over and make sure that Altuve is coming up with guys on base. I get what you're saying.
Right. A decent hitter. Yeah. Like a major league, yeah. If you're an average hitter, that's a decent hitter.
Yeah, yeah. And they're better than they were between.
I just said everybody's so damn spoiled. The days of having two full lineup or the back half of your lineup was as good as a lot of other teams' first half of the lineup. Like, those are days are over, okay? You're not going to have a record-breaking offense with this Astros team, all right? It's not 2019.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't get to have guys, nine guys on in your lineup that are all scary as hell.
Yeah, yeah. No, those were fun days, though. Those were good days. I get hearkening back. I understand. Text message. Trade Myers while he's hitting. He won't be like that guy in a month. Get something for him now. Now, I can see where there'd be some PTSD with that because Myers, I think it was May of last year, where Myers was awesome for like a month. That's where I got to get a little, pump my brakes a little bit on Jake, and maybe just keep my criticism for him in the holster, you know, just handy. That he was really good for like a month last year. He had like a 900 OPS in May, and then he reverted back.
Yeah, Jake Myers' hot streaks and the adjustments that he made. I'm reading an article about all the adjustments he made
last year.
This time we know it's real. Yeah, in May of last year.
Yes,
yeah.
It was May. Okay, good. it was in May.
You know, damn you, Brian McTaggart.
Yeah,
get this out of my. Purge this from the web.
Please.
I don't want to be reminded.
I need them to start winning too, because when Framber got shelled yesterday, I did the other thing that I saw. Was should have traded Framber before the season, or trade Framber, trade him now. And I guess just to be very clear, it will take them being way out of the race for them to trade Framber Valdez before the trade deadline. Way out.
I had forgotten, Sean, how through the first 51 games of the season, Myers was second on the team behind Kyle Tucker with a 914 OPS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot how... And then forgot very quickly. I didn't remember his beginning of the season as being as good as it was. I thought it was like a credible and then a huge, vast drop off. I didn't remember this is good to pump the brakes.
Yeah, no, it was almost exactly the month of May. Like, he started hitting like on May 1st and stopped hitting a Memorial Day. It was wild. Does Jeremy Pena get fined for running through the stop sign? No. If he does, I'm getting a GoFundMe going. It was the right thing to do.
It wasn't in a school zone. All right?
That's right.
We're good to go. Yeah. There's just a normal,
I do wonder, you know, baseball's big on these kangaroo courts, you know, in the clubhouse. I do wonder if you run through a stop sign but you get thrown out at home plate, if you got to pay the kangaroo court.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I wonder if Paris Chica gets a kangaroo court for trying to tell him to stop.
He should. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. All right. Nick Caserio's meeting with the media today. At noon, what do we want to hear from him? And will he live up to the high standard on GM press conferences that was established yesterday in Jacksonville? We'll play some of that for you coming up next. The magical Gladstone is here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, Nick Caserio meets with the media at noon today, so a little over 2 hours. What are we looking to hear from him? This will be the first chance that the media gets to talk to Nick since the Jalen Petrie extension. So I'm anxious just to, you know, any insight on that. I think we'll get, you know, that's, as you and I have pointed out, this does not feel like a huge surprise out of nowhere that he was getting this thing.
No, and I think the biggest thing about some of the extensions are you always got to remember the fact that they kick in a year later usually, and that you got to look at the deal as almost, okay, over it's a three-year extension, but what are you paying him over the course of 4 years? And if I were to go out in free agency and try to sign a similar player, would I be able to get him for the same amount? I think that's the way that Nick kind of looks at it. Yeah. And that's where Jalen Petrie's deal really makes sense. It works out to $10.5 million per year, where, you know, where he's not a safety, but the best safeties in the league are making over $20 million per year. He's not a linebacker, but the best linebackers in the league are making $17 or $18 million per year. He is somewhere between a safety and a linebacker, and he's making $10.5 million per year and doing his specific role really well. I think he's not going to go into that type of detail about it, but it'd be interesting. He's gushed about Jalen Petrie quite a few times, so I don't know if there's anything that he can say above and beyond what he's already said.
Yeah, to be clear, my expectation level for just how granular he gets on really any of these topics is not super high. Like, this is an already guarded front office that is a week out from the draft, so I don't think we're going to get any cheat codes or anything like that. But as far as the draft goes, you know, I'm curious, like, what's the some level of discussion on the importance of protecting C.J. Stroud as it pertains to the draft. You know,
oh,
this is also
good, yeah.
Right. This is
yeah.
the first crack that everybody's getting at Nick since the teardown of the offensive line has taken place.
Is you there know? Have they had a conversation with C.J. Stroud about how they're planning on addressing all of the issues from last year?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Every now and then when I'm talking about the Texans offseason and, you know, as we talk our way through down nine different routes and facets of the whole ordeal.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they fired the offensive coordinator and they got rid of three offensive line starters. And the offensive line coach was probably going to retire, but he's also gone as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's as close to a complete overhaul as you could realistically get. The only guys they really retained other than Titus Howard, are younger guys with promise and upside. And then they bring in some, 1-year veteran types. But it's a reset completely and totally from the offensive coordinator down to the offensive linemen themselves.
Can you think of anything even close to what they've done? Like along the offensive line, like when the team was bad and they fired Gary Kubiak, they made a point to hang on to Chris Myers for another year, and Dwayne Brown was on that line and stuff. And, you know, and then, like, you know, when the team got bad with, you know, when Deshaun at the end of the COVID year, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, they're all still around. Like, this is a concerted effort to completely revamp a position group in a room that we haven't seen before.
Yeah. And and the hard part is, and I know that, you know, it's gotten frustrating for fans, is that you see the teardown. And people expected a more aggressive rebuild.
Yeah.
And the Texans were very careful and judicious in how much they spent on offensive linemen, and they didn't go out and get some of the better guys in free agency. It's got to start. I mean, this is from the ground up. It's mostly going to come through the draft.
Yes. So, how judicious the rebuild is an incomplete story right now. Because if they do get aggressive, if they draft Tyler Booker, they traded up to get a guy in the first round who fits the bill for them. That would be big.
Well, and there's still trade opportunities too. That's the interesting thing. Yeah. That all of a sudden out of nowhere in early July or something, we're going to get hit upside the head by a trade.
That could happen. Running back in the draft, I'll be curious if that's a position that gets asked about, and if so, if the Damian Pierce rhetoric is the same this year as it's been in previous years.
Okay, it'll be interesting because Nick's not going to divulge anything that's going to give anything away. He might speak perhaps on whether the league is evaluating running backs differently because of the Saquon Barkley experience, because of Derrick Henry last year, and then because of the strength of this year's running back class. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he thinks that the tide is shifting. He might speak in generalities about that.
Yeah, maybe so. And you're right. He's not going to speak in specifics on how the Texans feel about running backs, but that would be good just to get his general view. This may be more of a topic for the summertime than it is this draft. You know, you're a week out from the draft. You're trying to get more specifics about what direction the team is going to go. I am curious now, especially in light of the Nico Iamaleava situation, now we're 4 years in. It'll be 4 years on July 1st that the NIL era began. It began July 1st, 2021. So we're four almost full calendar years into this NIL portal era that we're in right now. And Nick, you and I have talked to Nick. We've interviewed him during that whole footprint of time. You and our relationship with him started the day he got hired. Are they starting to get any sort of data on kids that transfer a lot, that have NIL, I don't know if issues is the right word because you don't hear about it. Like, Nico's got an NIL issue, you know what I mean? Like, is there any correlation to kids who have been super fluid and highly paid in this era to how they translate to the NFL?
Yeah. And like the maturity that they've shown perhaps in managing the good or bad, right.
Yeah.
They've probably seen that, okay, this guy did not handle his NIL experience very well at all, just on the money side of things.
Yes.
Did he go out and blow it all on a bunch of really stupid stuff, and then he was asking for a loan or a payday advance we'd like to know exactly how this guy is going to handle having a boatload of money for the first. It's not going to be the first time in his life.
No.
He's already been through it before. You've already got a feel for that. Or just, you know, did he make some mistakes his sophomore year, but then he showed he'd learned from those lessons. I honestly would say the number of 19-year-olds who can handle getting a boatload of money up front, like in a very unregulated environment,
small list,
and handle it well.
Yeah.
It's probably, especially in an environment where other guys are getting a boatload of money too, and there's kind of a keeping up with the Joneses element and dynamic there. It's impressive if you can handle it. It's impressive if you can do that.
And you're away from home. Your parents aren't looking over your shoulder every day to see what you're doing with the money and whatnot, you know?
I wonder if they should probably lean into basketball and baseball scouts and front office people. They have a lot more experience with that, with really young guys getting a boatload of money, 19-year-olds getting a boatload of money real quickly.
Probably some relevant data to be had there for sure. Now I'm saying relevant data. Now I sound like the magical Gladstone.
You sound
Gladstone.
Like the magnificent Gladstone.
I sound like the magnificent fraud. Gladstone.
You sound like a fencer, not a fighter.
Speaking of which, can Nick Caserio hit this bar today at his press conference? This was the magnificent Gladstone, the GM of the Jaguars, saying, if you're not intangibly rich, you're not a Jaguar.
At the end of the day, we focus the majority of our attentions on who it is that we're really interested, who fits the profile for really what we want to invite into this environment. And if you're not intangibly rich, it's going to be a hard time for that person to really mesh here. And I think those that will thrive in the environment that we create and cultivate are going to be people that fit the mold for what we've talked about to date, and that is all the physical and mental toughness attributes. And if you don't meet those thresholds that we've set, it's going to be something that we sort of go in a different direction.
Oh my God!
Intangibly rich, Sean. He doesn't want some guy walking in and saying, "Show me the tangible assets. Show me the tangible assets."
Table.
No, he wants
chair,
a guy who cares about laptop. The intangible assets.
He uses that part in the last 20 seconds where he talks about the mold and the this and that. Like, this guy uses 100 words for something that takes 10. Nick won't do that today. Now, Nick does give long answers sometimes, and Nick does use buzzwords on occasion, but not like this guy.
Show me your patents, trademarks, and copyrights. I want intangible assets. Yeah,
those are.
Tangible assets are BS,
dude.
Yeah, you know what the ideal answer for a prospect to give the Jaguars is if he's asked a question about NIL, he'd say, you know what, the NIL was great for giving me a bunch of tangible assets, but I want to be intangibly rich. And playing for Nick Saban gave me all the intangible riches that I would need to sustain me through my life and on into future generations.
Well, they would do.
He was managing my. I got Trajan Wealth manages my intangible assets as well as my tangible
assets.
That's
true. Yeah. They would do that except for one thing. The magnificent Gladstone does not like sitting down and meeting with prospects. Here he is.
Oh, that's right.
Why they don't do any top 30 visits for the Jags?
So much of the work that's done in preparation for these decisions starts years in advance. And, you know, the sourced intel from those who have lived with these individuals is likely to be more accurate than me sitting down with a prospect for a short period of time and attempting to dissect who that human being is. And so I don't know that I don't view myself as having this extreme superpower of deciphering the complexity of a person in an hour, right? I would probably say I can work that in tandem, but there are other mechanisms that we tend to lean into to help us determine whether or not a player is in fact a fit for us more than just a singular touch point that would be a top 30 visit. We have a lot of additional mechanisms that we deploy that don't necessarily put us at risk for the rest of the world to know which direction we're heading as well, because so often those become public facing touch points.
Yeah,
at which point you're sacrificing some version of strategy.
I just say touch point again, bleeper bleeper.
Hey guys, how are your touch points doing this morning?
I said it the day he was hired to Reggie.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the Jags.
So you think,
said it the day. Did I not?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the Jags.
Yeah.
You know what he reminds me of? It's,
I hope you're right.
It's the guy, when he said sourced intel, he reminds me of the guy that speaks in military lingo without having a military background. You know, like, hey, let's secure the location or whatever. All that, like, they talk like they're a colonel.
I'll see you at 1500.
Yeah. Hello, fellas.
Hey,
what's up?
I'm so glad you played that.
How we doing? Oh yeah, it's the second time we played it.
Honestly, I think that talent is going to serve him well. He's just going to obfuscate, you know, his actual responsibilities.
Obfuscate is a word he would use.
That was the intention there.
The magical
Reggie. He would add an adverb in front of it.
Oh,
it can't
yeah.
just be intel. It's got to be sourced intel.
Yes, that's true.
He would necessarily obfuscate.
Yeah. He would excessively obfuscate.
That's what he would do. That's what he would do. So we're excited, man. So Golden State, who were you guys rooting for last night?
Well, I just was assuming Golden State was going to win, but I was rooting for Memphis.
Yeah, especially after seeing Zach Edey play.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding. Boy, he was a big part of what they were trying to do.
Yes, he was.
Why?
Yes, he was.
Okay, that's why you're the interim coach, I suppose. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, guys. Your question of the day has become mother's milk to me.
Really?
Forward to it. I kind of, you guys walk in, I start salivating.
Yes, we've got the Pavlovian response. Yes.
I generally have not told Seth what it is beforehand, mm-hmm. So there's some suspense. By the way, Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing. Gentlemen, what is the question of the day?
All right. So based on Draymond Green and Steven Adams are going to have they're going to reunite.
Reunite.
Yep. Yeah. And Draymond Green has kicked Steven Adams in the boys at least twice.
Oh, yeah. He has, yeah, hasn't
at
he?
Least twice. Yeah. You will hear that audio. So what are the guy code rules that should never be broken? You don't do that.
You don't. Man. Yeah. No, no hitting ever, below the belt in any
ever,
shape, form, or fashion.
You don't do that unless it's a fight to the death in the streets or something where you have
and
to.
And even then, it's not gentlemanly.
Oh, I'll go. You know what? I'll tell you. This used to annoy me to no end. This is the thing. All right. Everybody, okay, so classic guy code would be like, listen, you know, don't tell, you know, obviously you don't disclose what happens at a bachelor's party to the to your buddy's spouse or whatever. This used to drive me insane is when guys would tell stories about bachelor parties to the, like, women who weren't involved with it at all, but just women in general.
That's it. That's one.
Yeah, like, like, they might not be involved with a wedding party or know anything about the bride or groom or anything, but they're just, like, dishing on all these stories that then, in the future, will screw over that guy's fiance at some point.
Yes.
Like, you know, it just, you're screwing some unknown, unnamed guy. But you know, it's a touch point that doesn't need to be touched.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Gladstone. To take it to an extreme, and I've seen this happen. How about guys who are best men at weddings who mix some of that into their toast?
Yeah, that's a classic.
That's
obvious
a new.
You've seen that one?
Yes, I've seen that happen before.
There are any number of directions you can go in this. I was telling Sean during the break, Seth. Like, let's say we all go over to Seth's house for a barbecue, and it's very straightforward, you know, little steaks or burgers or something.
Damn, you don't think Seth can do something special?
No, I'm just saying, just something as easy as that, just as an example. And I stand up next to Seth, and I'm holding my beer, and I tell him, well, you know what I would do? When somebody's grilling,
start dishing advice.
That's it. I don't care if it's good.
Yeah. I need to cut the temperature down a little bit.
Did you reverse sear that?
Look a little dry, huh?
Did you reverse sear that?
It's very big, bro. Like, hey, you're probably going to want to flip that or something. Yeah. That's the male Karening.
I've got one that is not necessarily. It's not 100% a guy code thing, but I'll put it into this conversation because it's like a 90% guy code thing just based on the mix of people that I see playing blackjack at any given time.
Oh, okay.
When you sit down at a blackjack table in the middle of a good shoe.
Yes.
While that table is winning and there's an empty chair, don't wait.
Don't do it.
You wait. You at least ask permission of the people at the table to sit down. And if there's one person that says, no, can you wait till the end of the shoe? Or can you at least wait till it gets cold?
Yeah.
You know, till the dealer starts hitting us with 21s upside the head. That's a big one for me. You know, you know, most of my rules are casino related.
I didn't know that that blackjack table etiquette.
Do you play blackjack?
Not frequently.
Okay.
So I'm in prime offender territory there.
For sure. I would not want you sitting at third base, as they call it, making all the decisions that decide how the table ends
up. Yeah, that's fair.
If you ever play blackjack, make sure I'm with you. I'll make sure you don't get beat.
All right,
we'll
make plans to.
Yeah.
Seth, I do want to come back around to you because, like, obviously there's, like, the general ones, but I always wonder, are there any things that are, like, kind of more specific to a football locker room? Because I imagine that a football locker room has some additional rules that we would never even consider in some of those circumstances.
Oh, that's a really good question. You know what? Let me think on that. That would be a good segment for tomorrow, Sean.
Okay, I love it.
Don't ask about money. Don't bring up money.
Locker room guy code, right?
So, you know the one thing that always bothered me, and this wasn't a code thing or anything, but it broke down to the individual, was that, like, sometimes, like, you're sitting in the training room, you're getting treatment or whatever, getting your ankles taped. I always felt really uncomfortable when players would start talking about money or, like, money they're spending or something in a way in front of the trainers who don't make much money at all.
You know,
I always felt like, man, just, like, have a little bit of sense about You don't need to be flaunting it in front of guys like this that are like literally serving you by taping your ankles and cleaning up your blood and spit and everything.
No doubt. That's a good one. All right, I got it down for tomorrow. Locker room guy code. Mm-hmm. Got a perfect spot to put it too.
I'm excited to hear that.
Be good. I'll make sure it's at a point where you guys are in your cars.
You don't have to do that. There's a radio rewind feature in the YouTube page.
I keep the YouTube on in my office.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, guess what? Crosstalk sponsored by D&M Auto
That's
Leasing.
Right. I'm
in midseason form.
You're in playoff form.
Form for the Rockets in honor of them. All right, we're done. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies to you, and I hope you deploy all the mechanisms available via your sourced intel to efficientize your modes of operation and reduce the number of singular touch points to which we were referring
that
to.
That was fantastic. Holy crap, that was good. Yeah. Is the magical, the magnificent Gladstone something that still has legs during the season? Do I peep in on his pressers during the year?
Yeah, and be sure you schedule some spontaneity sometime during the season.
I've got it down for 12:45 today.
Okay, good.
Hour into the Astros game. Yes.
So that you can engage synergy.
And now we're spontaneous.
Right, yes. All right. Fellas, touch points to all of you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.